Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, time now for our Sustainable Singapore series, written and produced by Rianne Lovell-Boland. So, lots of chaos unfolding around the world, but there are still many positive things happening.
I'm so glad that is the case. Last Saturday saw the return of the world's largest grassroots movement for the environment, Earth Hour. It's organised by the Worldwide Fund for Nature, WWF, and is held annually, encouraging individuals, communities and businesses to turn off non-essential electric lights for 1 hour in a show of commitment for the planet.
So here in Singapore, in conjunction with Earth Hour 2020, local environmental organizations have launched a platform for people to voice their support for nature and the sustainable future that they envision. And this initiative, it's called Open Letter. And you've got a bunch of groups like, you know, WWF Singapore, Green Drinks Singapore, Lepakin SG, SG Climate Rally, Zero Waste SG is also involved.
Yeah, all great organisations. It's aimed at Singapore's decision makers in politics, business and education.
And of course, on the line to tell us a little bit more about Earth Hour 2020 and Singapore's Open Letter Initiative is Janisa Ng, who is Senior Manager, Content and Engagement, WWF Singapore. Janisa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy to be here talking about Earth Hour.
Ah, yes. Turn off your lights. And actually, it's more significant than ever because a lot of people are working from home. So electricity is going up from home.
Yeah, I'm sure there's quite a surge, isn't there? So Janisa, great that you could join us by telephone on the show. Earth Hour is an iconic movement, isn't it? It takes place every year. Just remind everyone of the context of how it all started and what it's supposed to symbolise.
Well, Earth Hour is over a decade old now, and every year, one day in a year, for 1 hour, landmarks, iconic landmarks across the world, in Singapore as well, it goes dark in a show of solidarity for the planet. So, you know what? It's never about saving electricity, and that never has been the objective for Earth Hour. But, you know, when you switch off the lights at home, you see the Singapore skyline go dark, and indeed it goes dark across the world, right? It shows the sheer support that's happening globally for the planet and to stand for the most environmentally urgent issues of their time. And that's what Earth Hour is about.
But 1 hour does save a lot of electricity. I mean, any chance you would have any idea just how much electricity across Singapore we save during Earth Hour?
Well, you never know. It's a grassroots movement, and it's about the individuals and their choice.
Okay.
Again, it really isn't about the electricity, but what it does save is it sets us on a path if everyone takes action beyond the 1 hour where the lights go dark. But beyond that, what are we doing this week? What are we doing for the rest of the year that can really make a difference to turning around some of the environmental issues? We're talking about climate. Mm. We know that we're losing nature and biodiversity at the fastest rate. So, you know, it's about what are we doing as individuals in our lifestyles, but also what businesses are doing, what governments are setting national policies. And that is the spirit of Earth Hour.
Yeah, I used to live in Hong Kong, and it was always incredible every Earth Hour to see the Hong Kong skyline go dark. And I think a lot of people will be familiar with quite how bright and twinkly that particular one is. The first Earth Hour was in 2007. Why don't you share with us how the movement has actually inspired global climate and environmental initiatives? You're saying that that is the goal, but what knock-on impact has there been?
You know, so Earth Hour is that 1 hour, and it's a platform, right, where the entire world comes together. What this really builds up is the visible show of community support by people to stand for environmental change. And this signals, I think it has this signaling power to businesses, to governments around the world, that there is support when they implement national policies for the environment. There is support if they do change their practices to be more environmentally friendly, to protect nature more. So this show of support actually is by people like you and me saying, hey, we are going to do better. And for climate action, for example, one thing that has done, that has happened since Earth Hour started in 2017 is the Paris Climate Agreement in 2016, where governments came together to say global action is possible and we're going to commit to these targets to reverse climate change. And we also feel that that happening in Singapore as part of the Paris Agreement, how we're going to be doing more on our national carbon emission targets.
Janisa, some of our colleagues at the radio stations here at SBH Radio Network took part in Earth Hour 2020, but it was different this year because it was a live stream due to this COVID-19 situation. Could you tell us the impact of the live stream that took place? How many people took part this year, perhaps?
Well, guys, if you guys didn't tune in, it was 3 hours live stream on Saturday with Charmini from Kids FM. Angel was supposed to be part of it, but because of COVID measures, she couldn't. And of course, Paul Foster. Mm-hmm. So in this 3-hour live stream, we brought together, you know, Singapore's top influencers, artists, and local environmental change makers into this live stream. Everybody was dialing in from their living room, but it became this tremendous community that came together to talk about what does the global planetary emergency mean? What does climate mean for us, but more importantly, what can we do about it? And I'll be honest, Earth Hour this year took place, or is taking place, at a difficult time. We had to adapt it. Every year around the world, it's always been a physical gathering of a community and people coming together. We had a festival last year. Well, this year, because of COVID-19 measures, we had to take the decision to adapt, make it a digital 3-hour event that has never been done for Earth Hour in Singapore before, or probably in Singapore. And then more recent measures, we had to make sure that in every area where people were streaming in from, we kept to groups of 10 or less. Okay. We even have additional screening measures. So Earth Hour this year was carried out to make sure that everyone is healthy and safe. But also there was a lot of adaptation in terms of the event organization. But that didn't stop 37,000 people from tuning in to watch a live stream over the weekend. And I believe today we are at 45,000 already.
Fantastic.
That's great. That's great numbers. We're speaking to Janisa Ng, who is the Senior Manager of Content and Engagement at WWF Singapore. Now, in our introduction, we talked about Open Letter, the initiative. Now, can you just outline for yourself what Open Letter aims to achieve and who specifically is it targeting?
It's a community initiative where we and a few green groups and individuals actually came together to say, we want a better future for ourselves. We want a future where our health, our well-being, and our prosperity is protected. And in order to get that, we know that we need policies and practices that can protect nature. So what this Open Letter does is really five people in Singapore coming together to show support for change that goes beyond ourselves. Like, I can do my best in my daily life, but I kind of want to signal to decision makers, and it can be in my schools, in my institutions, you know, businesses, and even in Singapore, policymakers in Parliament. We want to show support for better policies and practices that protect nature and protect biodiversity, not just in Singapore, but around the region as well, because that's what it takes to ensure that, you know, climate change is reversed, that our natural resources are protected over the longer term.
But Janisa, if you don't mind me zooming in specifically to Singapore, right? I mean, you talked about how Open Letter is supposed to help with the development and implementation of integrated and sustainable policies. But then Singapore is among, you know, the 20 most carbon efficient countries, and natural gas generates 95% of electricity in the world. So how does this help?
It sets us on a course for a more sustainable future. You talked about our electricity use and energy use. A lot of it is linked to, we need all countries and governments to reduce carbon emissions in a targeted manner by 2050, for example. So what Earth Hour does is send this signal. Let's make sure, you talked about, you know, Singapore having 95% of our energy use coming from natural gas, which is still a fossil fuel. So if we are to reverse the effects of climate change and the impact it has on people around the world, we need to be setting ourselves on a course for, okay, can we rely less on fossil fuels as an energy source and look at renewables. And actually the conversation is already happening. Where Earth Hour and where the Open Letter and people in Singapore can be part of this conversation is to say, okay, I want to have a more, you know, a clean energy future in Singapore. I can do this by switching to solar energy electricity providers. I can also support businesses that commit to science-based targets. I can support national policies that the government has outlined to, you know, to address Singapore's overall carbon emissions. So everyone has a part to play in this conversation. And Singapore is also part of a bigger movement around the world where governments really have to bring down our carbon emissions if we are to have any decisive outcomes on climate change.
But essentially, it's still an appeal, right? The government still has to get involved.
Of course. I think in any environmental issue, we know that governments with good policies, businesses with responsible practices, can have a lot of positive impact on addressing some of the biggest issues that we face. In order for businesses and governments to get there, they need to know that they have the support from their customers, from people in their countries, and from people like you and me. So going back, I talked about the open letter and how it's an initiative by people in Singapore. It demonstrates this support that, like, we are doing our best. Can you guys in our governments, in our schools, in our businesses, do better as well by taking action and going beyond the talk?
Yeah. Let's talk, though, about something slightly different. Let's talk about COVID-19, because one of the impacts of this pandemic has been clear sky in China. Mm. We've seen blue water in Venice. In fact, we can see the bottom of the canals. Governments and the rest of us are learning a lot from these trying times with regard to climate change. Would you agree with that? And also, what are the tips that you can give people? You know, they might be working from home. They might be upping their energy consumption. Are there ways that they can have less of an impact on the climate from home?
You know, Manisha and Elliot, I think I don't know about you, but as somebody in Singapore, I feel safest in Singapore at this point in time. For me, personally, it has to do with the fact that we see a lot of decisive national action, and you feel comforted by the fact that we are on course to overcoming the current health crisis, even hopefully turning around because of national action. And I think this is the main lesson that we need to take away for when we talk about other crises. With COVID-19, there has been strong national action. We see communities coming together, showing support for one another. But I think the question is, after we get over this crisis, we will have other challenges coming our way. We still have a climate emergency on our hands that's going to affect us in a very real way. So let this national action, let this sense of community be the main lesson that we pick away from this. And when it comes to climate, asking ourselves, are we doing enough on a national level to reverse it or to mitigate climate change? Can we do more as a community in coming together to show that kind of support? I think that's the main lesson coming out of this entire crisis.
But do you get a sense from the people that you talk to that you can now go back to governments and you can say, look, here's the evidence. We've had people who are staying at home, for example. We've taken a lot of action to keep manufacturing, for example, offline that doesn't need to happen. And look at the incredible impact that we can have in a short space of time when you're decisive. Does it bolster your argument? And are you going to then use that as leverage?
I think the main thing right now is to get over this crisis. I think more so than ever, when it comes to environmental issues, we see more connectedness between decision makers and government, businesses and people. There's a lot more traction has been happening on environmental issues. So I think the main thing is to see how we can continue coming out of this to show support for these policies and for governments. That's already happening, right? So we want the open letter to Singapore to be the bridge between the aspirations of people and more support for policymakers and business owners on environmental issues.
We've been speaking with Janisa Ng, Senior Manager, Content and Engagement at WWF Singapore. Janisa, thanks for your time. You stay safe and stay healthy, yeah?
You too as well. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.